Wellness Wednesday.
Hello, Nancy Teeter here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Wednesday Wellness. I'm going to be talking today about the value of whole foods. And next week, it'll be part two of the same subject. You know, it's really hard to believe, but nutrition is a relatively young science. Did you know that the first vitamin was isolated and chemically defined in 1926? That's less than 100 years ago. That event ushered in a half century of discovery that focused on single nutrient deficiency diseases, things like beriberi and rickets and scurvy. Research on the role of nutrition in complex chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, and cancers is even more recent. It has accelerated over the past 2 to 3 decades, and especially after the start of the 21st century. I got to tell you, as a dietitian, I find the history of nutrition fascinating, so I'm going to share a bit of it with you. Casimir Funk, in 1913, came up with the idea of a vital amine in food, originating from the observation that the hull of unprocessed rice protected chickens against a condition that was very much like beriberi. This vital amine, or vitamin, was first isolated then in 1926 and named thiamin, or we also call it vitamin B1. By the middle of the 20th century, all major vitamins had been isolated and synthesized in the labs. The chemical synthesis of vitamins quickly progressed to food-based strategies being replaced by treatment with individual vitamin supplements. This led to modern-day marketing of individual and bundled multivitamins to guard against deficiencies. And it launched an entire vitamin supplement industry, the sales of which exceeded $5 billion last year alone. The new science of single nutrient deficiency diseases also led to the fortification of select food staples. So there were specific micronutrients, vitamins, or minerals added to staple foods. For example, iodine added to salt, niacin and iron added to wheat and cereal products, and vitamins D and A were added to milk. We refer to these additions as fortification. In 1941, the first recommended dietary requirements were announced with a focus on preventing nutritional deficiencies, accelerating economic development and modernization of agriculture, food processing, and food formulation techniques continued to reduce deficiencies that were a result of nutrient deficiencies. And it did it worldwide. In addition, coronary deaths began to fall in high-income countries like the United States. But at the same time, many other diet-related chronic diseases were increasing, including obesity, type 2 diabetes, and several types of cancer. The 1980 Dietary Guidelines for Americans looked at specifically at preventing chronic diseases by focusing solely on individual nutrients. Well, that science is all well and good, but nutrition science has expanded beyond the idea of single nutrients and their individual role in health and disease. Scientific advances suggest that single nutrient theories are inadequate to explain the many effects of diet on non-communicable diseases. And after decades of focus on simple reductionist metrics such as dietary fat, saturated fat, nutrient density, and energy density, the emerging true complexities of different foods and diet patterns create genuine challenges for understanding how diet influences health and well-being. In fact, the 2015 Dietary Guidelines for Americans focus solely on foods rather than individual nutrients. And by the way, the 2020 Dietary Guidelines are in their final period and should be released in the next few months. So what we know is that people who eat plants rich in beta-carotene, like carrots and sweet potatoes, have low rates of heart disease and cancer. However, when participants are given isolated beta-carotene in studies, not only does it not help prevent cancer, but in smokers, the doses of this isolated nutrient increases the risk of lung cancer. You want another example? It's the conundrum surrounding fortification of cereals with folic acid. Though doing so helped reduce neurological problems in growing children, safety concerns have arisen about this fortification because it might in fact make worse neurological and cognitive deficits among people who have low intakes of vitamin B12. These are just two examples. So if we shouldn't focus on preventing deficiencies, where should our nutritional focus be placed? The answer to this question is in the Whole Foods Matrix, and I'm going to address that in next week's episode. I hope you'll tune in for more information on why whole foods make a difference in your diet. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. And if you like what you hear, tune in next week so you can learn more. Thank you.